Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
That combination of a singer-songwriter, guitarist, and studio architect arguably became the template for the entire British invasion generation. Hey everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to the next edition in our Heroes of Rock series. The Heroes of Rock series examines contributors to the far-reaching genre of rock. From pioneers to superstars, little-known artists to trailblazers, one thing unites these heroes. They had the rock inside them, and they found a way to let it out. Today, Eddie Cochran. I'm just a-sittin' in the balcony, just a-watchin' the movie, or maybe it's a symphony, I wouldn't know. I don't care about the symphony, those are symbols in the timpani. I'm just a-sittin' in the balcony, on the very last row, and I hold your hand. Edward Ray Cochran was born on October 3, 1938 in Albert Lea, Minnesota, where he lived until he was 12. During this time, he gave up on the piano lessons his family set up for him and instead started teaching himself guitar, playing country and other music he heard on the radio. The family moved to Bell Gardens, California, a suburb of Los Angeles, in the early 1950s. He continued to improve his guitar technique, and by the time he completed his first year of high school, he took the decision to drop out of education and try to become a professional musician. In 1955, Cochran met Hank Cochran, a songwriter, while playing a local show, and although they were not related, they recorded as the Cochran Brothers and began performing together. They did a few singles for the Echo Records label that were fairly successful and helped them establish a performing act. Eddie Cochran also worked as a session musician and began writing songs, making a demo with a man named Jerry Capehart, who would become his manager. The emergence of Elvis Presley convinced Cochran to begin turning away from country music and gravitate towards the new sound of rock and roll and rockabilly. A song written with Capehart, Skinny Jim, was released on the Crest label in July of 1956 and has since earned a reputation as an early rockabilly gem. This song marks Cochran's real emergence as a rock and roll artist, guitar work and all. Well, I know God's deep on skin, but they raving about Skinny Jim. Jim, I think you came with me, but you're not with you. Jim, ooh, my man's got a Jim. Yes, all the girls love you, Mr. Jim. Well, Jim got charm, he got class, all the women love him more than you. Yes, Jim, ooh, my man's got a Jim. Yeah.
Jim, Jim,
Cochran was strikingly handsome, and living in close proximity to Hollywood, it was natural that the movie industry might have an interest in him, especially given his musical ability. Boris Petrov, a film producer, asked if he would like to appear in a movie that was being made in Hollywood called The Girl Can't Help It, a vehicle for sex symbol James Mansfield, with a satirical subplot involving teenagers and the evils of rock and roll music. Little Richard did the title track, and Gene Vincent and his Blue Caps contributed Bebopalula. But it was Cochran's 20 Flight Rock that would be the most exciting song in the film, which was in theaters by Christmas of 1956. 20 Flight Rock was written by a staff writer named Ned Fairchild, which is a pen name. Her real name was Nelda Fairchild. Fairchild, who was not a rock and roll performer, merely provided the initial form of the song. The co-writing credit reflects Cochran's major changes to it and the contributions to the final product. On the surface, it's straightforward. A guy climbing flight after flight of stairs to reach his girl because the elevator's broken, structured like a countdown, echoing the 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock rock from Bill Haley and the Comets' Rock Around the Clock the year before. And the singer also throws a wink at what he's really too exhausted to do once he arrives at the top of the stairs. There were two distinct recordings of 20 Flight Rock. The one that is usually associated with the song, the one that appeared in the film, features Cochran on guitar, Guy Bo Smith on double bass, and Jerry Capehart slapping a cardboard box for percussion, recorded in July 1956 at Gold Star Studios. It's raw, almost to the point of being unfinished. No drummer, no polish, just three guys and a cardboard percussion. Cochran then re-recorded the song sometime between May and August 1957, this time with the Johnny Mann Chorus doing backing vocals and Perry Botkin Sr. on rhythm guitar. And the second, fuller version was released by Liberty Records as a single. But the added elements, especially the backing vocals, didn't really improve on the original stripped-down energy, which has far more character than the finished record. The movie The Girl Can't Help It was originally intended to poke fun at the fad of rock and roll, but instead ended up igniting a passion for the music in many who saw it, and the song served another purpose in the history of rock and roll. In July 1957, when the 15-year-old Paul McCartney auditioned to join 16-year-old John Lennon's band The Quarrymen, he impressed Lennon with his version of 20 Flight Rock.
With a record machine, when it comes to rockin', she's a queen. We love to dance on a Saturday night, all alone where I can hold her tight. But she lives on the 20th floor uptown. The elevator's broken down, so I walk one flight, three flight, four, five, six, seven flight, eight flight more. Up on the 12th, I'm starting to drag. 50th floor, I'm already to sag. Get to the top, I'm too tired to rock. Well, she calling me up on the telephone. She come on over, honey, I'm all alone. I said, baby, you're mighty sweet, but I'm in bed with the aching feet. This went on for a couple of days, but I couldn't stay away. So I walk one, two, fly, three, fly, four, five, six, seven, fly, eight, fly more. Up on the 12th, I'm ready to drag. A 15th, the 4th, I'm starting to sag. Get to the top, I'm too tired to rock. Well, I sent to Chicago for repairs.
Cochran was riding high in 1957, appearing in another film, Untamed Youth, and scoring a hit single with Sitting in the Balcony, one of the few songs he recorded that was written by other songwriters, in this case, John D. Loudermilk. The single made the top 20, Cochran's first commercial success. In the summer of 57, Liberty Records issued Cochran's only studio album released during his lifetime, Singing to My Baby. Cochran worked closely with Capehart and wrote the songs Completely Sweet, Undying Love, When I'm Mad, and One Kiss. Cochran played guitar, arranged, and had a real hand in the production. That combination of a singer-songwriter, guitarist, and studio architect arguably became the template for the entire British Invasion generation. He would hit even greater heights in 1958 when he went into Gold Star Studios in Hollywood to cut a song that he and Capehart had written called Summertime Blues. Cochran sang both the vocal and answering bass vocal himself, played all the guitar parts, and added the hand clapping. Connie Guybo Smith played the electric bass, and Earl Palmer was behind the drum kit. Cochran was breaking new ground as an artist, taking full control of a recording session instead of allowing an arranger or producer to call the shots. Summertime Blues, which would become a staple of many live sets in the 1960s, has a density and punch to it that comes partly from studio ambition, not just performance energy.
Oh, well, my mom and papa told me, son, you gotta make some money. But if you wanna use the car to go a ride next Sunday. Oh, well, I didn't go to work, told the boss I was sick.
Now you can't use the car cause you didn't work or live.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. I'm gonna take 2 weeks till I have a fine vacation. I'm gonna take my problem to the United Nations.
After touring the United States for a good portion of 1958, Cochran made it back into the studio in October to cut another tune he wrote with Capehart, Come On Everybody, which would also be destined to be covered by scores and scores of bands. The song brims with the same energy and studio invention as Summertime Blues, but it wasn't as commercially successful, only scraping into the top 40. In the United Kingdom, however, where the passion for Cochran's music was intense and growing more intense, it was a number 6 hit. Cochran appeared in a film in 1959, a picture called Go Johnny Go, which starred DJ Alan Freed as a talent scout searching for a future rock and roll star. In addition to Cochran, Chuck Berry, Ritchie Valens, and Jackie Wilson make appearances. In February, Cochran's world was shaken to its core when two of his friends, Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens, along with the Big Bopper, were killed in a plane crash near Clear Lake, Iowa. He struggled greatly with the tragedy and developed a fear that he too would meet a premature end. Cochran recorded a song written by disc jockey Tommy D in tribute to Holly, Valens, and the Big Bopper, entitled Three Stars. Cochran was anxious to give up life on the road and spend time in the studio making music. By the mid-1960s, the idea of a musician only working in the studio and not performing would begin to be established, but in late 1959, that seemed little more than a dream, as live performance was still the main way for musicians to make money. Cochran had little choice but to continue to perform live, and that led to his acceptance of an offer to tour the United Kingdom in the spring of 1960. In January of 1960, Cochran recorded his last session at Gold Star. His brief music career included a few more hits, such as Something Else, Teenage Heaven, and Three Steps to Heaven, which topped the charts in the Republic of Ireland and the United Kingdom in 1960. Organized and promoted by Larry Parnes, Cochran and Gene Vincent toured the UK from late winter through April 1960. On the bill, they were accompanied by British acts Billy Fury, Joe Brown, Vince Eager, and Tony Sheridan. Cochran was backed by Marty Wilde's band The Wildcats throughout the 1960 tour, exposing the British audience to live American rock and roll. Georgie Fame, then a member of the Beat Boys and sometimes in the backing band for Vincent, recalled being astounded by Cochran's guitar playing and onstage energy when he saw him in person. The tour was highly successful and ended in mid-April 1960. On the evening of April 16th, Cochran and Vincent, along with Cochran's fiancée Sharon Shealy and tour manager Patrick Tompkins, were traveling in a car driven by 18-year-old George Martin, no relation to the record producer of the same name. Martin lost control of the vehicle, and it left the road and barreled into a concrete lamppost. At the moment of impact, Cochran, who was seated in the center of the back seat, threw his body over Shealy to protect her. The force of the collision caused the left rear passenger door to come open, and Cochran was ejected from the vehicle. He was killed by blunt force trauma. The driver and other passengers escaped with injuries. Cochran's death in a country where he's extremely popular with the emerging youth culture made him an icon and everlasting hero to hundreds of future UK rock and rollers. For his pioneering work in the recording studio, his dynamic approach to guitar playing and performing, and for helping define youth rebellion as musical subject matter with Summertime Blues, Eddie Cochran is a hero of rock.
Now there three steps to heaven. Are three, three steps to heaven. Steps to heaven. Just listen, and you will plainly see. And as life travels on, and things do go wrong, just follow steps one, two, and three. Step one, you find a girl you love. Step two, she falls in love with you. Step three, you kiss and hold her tightly. Yeah, that sure seems like heaven to me. The formula for heaven's very simple. Just follow the rules and you will see. And as life travels on and things do go wrong, just follow steps one, two, and three.
He impressed Lennon with his version of 20 Flight Rock.